we doing? Where'd all these people come from? I think we tripled since I got in here. Amen. Let's all stand up together once again. So glad to be here. I want to say a special hello to Pastor Henry and Pastor Jackie. I know you're watching, and we love you sincerely. Thank you for the opportunity to fill your pulpit, and we bless you in Jesus' name. We call your family blessed. We call your life blessed, your children and your grandchildren blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Father, thank you for moving in our midst today. Lord, we came here today to hear from you, and so we just direct our attention, the attention of our hearts. We just focus our mind on you, Jesus, over these next few moments. Thank you that you bring your word. Lord, anoint my lips to say what you want to say. Anoint my hands and every part of me to do what you want done. Not my will, but your will be done here today. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning just to have your way. Lord, to say and do just as only you can do, not just in word, but also in deed. Thank you that you are welcome to move here in this place miraculously and supernaturally. And lastly, we take authority over any demonic forces, any evil spirits that would try and hang out and disrupt or discourage or pull away from or add to in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We send you on the run. We resist you, and we command you to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you agree with that, say a good amen. 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 Well, you can be seated. We are always honored to be at this church. It is a home away from home, away from home. Brian's correct. I don't know where I'm from anymore. I was born in Oklahoma. I lived in Illinois, grew up in Alabama, moved back to Oklahoma multiple times in my 20s. Moved up to New Hampshire, pastored up there for almost a decade, moved to California in 2009, currently living in Texas, and wherever the road takes us, it's good not to know where you're at all the time. Amen. It mixes things up. Life is supposed to be an adventure. Amen. There was a book written on behalf, it was for John G. Lake. It was collected sermons and teachings of his life. And if you don't know who John Lake is, you should look him up and get some of his materials. You can't read anything that was written by or preached by John G. Lake and not have the miraculous presence of God literally manifest in your bedroom or your office or wherever you're reading. And so that's just a good tip. I've been reading him for years. And if you've been believing God not only to see miracles, and we're talking about miracles right now, Pastor gave me a specific direction. And I was here last week, and I know you're in a series. We're in a series on miracles. But if your heart is really seeking after the miraculous, not just for yourself, you know, the Christian isn't designed to live by miracles. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen. But we're supposed to be carriers of miracles. We're supposed to operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit on behalf, just like Jesus did in his lifetime, we're supposed to do. He's our example. Can you say a good amen? And I'll throw a few things at you. There's no way for me to, I'm just bringing a portion today to add to some things that have already been said. And if you are visiting for the first time, don't judge the church today based on just me today. Please come back and hear the pastors of this church over the next few weeks as they dive into this. But I believe the Holy Spirit's given me some things to share with you. One thing that came up in my heart during worship, you know, when you get into an atmosphere where the supernatural presence of God and the supernatural presence of Jesus and the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is literally exalted in words like worship and in actions like a sign of surrender. You might be wondering, why do they always lift their hands at that church when the music's going on? Is that just something they do? Well, it is something we do, but it's actually a thing we're doing on purpose. It is, one man said this, you know, if a gun was put to you, no one's putting a gun to you, what's the first thing you do? You yield, a sign of surrender, right? If a police officer said, hey, stick him up, what do? Hey, You yield. Well, God's not putting the gun to us today, but as a sign of faith that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, as Hebrews 11 talks about. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. When we enter into worship, we believe that God is, that God is with us, and so we surrender to him, expecting to receive something from that supernatural substance. And it's an exchange, if you will. My faith is an action based on a word, and my faith is supernatural substance, right? So then faith, right, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10, 17. What did Hebrews say about faith? It's the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. When I enter into the presence of God, I do it by faith, by that substance. And we do that in so many ways. We do it by his word, but we do it with words. We do it with actions. You know, there's miraculous power both in us and all around us everywhere we go. And it's ready to activate and be activated in us, for us, and by us, and through us. The one thing that unlocks it is faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith. It just feels good to say that. You know, without faith, there is no pleasing God, the Bible says. Hebrews 11, 6, as we quoted a minute ago, without faith, it's not possible to please him. So faith is literally the key that opens the door to the supernatural. Amen. Pastor Henry was talking about faith last week, about being the opener of the supernatural. Miracles happen where there's faith attached. Remember when Jesus, everywhere he went, what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? For God was with him, that's Acts. And everywhere he went, signs, wonders, and miracles, save one place, his own hometown. You know why no great miracles happened? There was no faith there. They got offended at him. Remember he opened the book of Isaiah? I think Pastor was talking about this last week. And he began to read and he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears, basically saying, I am the one. And they all start reasoning in themselves. They wouldn't attach faith. But everywhere Jesus spoke, where people mix faith with the words, miracles begin to happen. Amen. Miracles are supposed to happen. You're a carrier of miracles. As Jesus is, so are we now in this world. You and I are supposed to be carriers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a carrier of miracles. Now, just real quick as we dive in here, miracle is defined in the Webster's Dictionary, a divine supernatural interruption of something in the natural. It's a supernatural, a divine supernatural interruption of something in the natural. A divine supernatural interruption. God intervening, heaven invading earth, if you will. There's a wonderful book by Pastor Bill Johnson you can pick up called Heaven Invades Earth. When heaven invades earth. And the whole book is talking about the miracle presence of God invading our natural environment. If you work at a bank, there's opportunity for everyone who comes and goes in and out of that bank, co-workers and visitors, to experience supernatural power, supernatural miracles. Why? Because you're a carrier of that. As he is, so are you now in this world. You're just like him. You're just like him. You're just like him. You begin to say that to yourself. John Lake used to tell himself every day in the mirror. He'd say, John, listen to me. You're just like Jesus. You're just like Jesus. He's alive in you, talking to himself. He'd say, John, look at me. Looking in the mirror. He'd say, Jesus lives in that man. God lives in that man, talking to himself. You begin to talk to yourself that way, and all of a sudden, faith will rise to meet your words, because faith comes by hearing. You know you're the greatest prophet over your own life? Stands to reason. You have to live with you 24 hours a day. You're stuck with yourself. You might as well say over yourself what God says. Say this with me. Say, I operate as a supernatural being. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a physical body. But I am a spirit. I am a supernatural being. I think supernatural thoughts. I say supernatural things. I operate in supernatural ways. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not of this world. I'm from heaven. I am supernatural. I operate in supernatural ways. I think supernatural thoughts. I say supernatural things. And miracles follow me everywhere I go. You know, you make that confession and your faith will rise to the occasion of your words, and you'll start to see things change and come to pass like never before. One thing I've realized, and Pastor Henry, when he had called me about ministering, he said, you know, you've had many miracles happen. We have miracles happen on a daily basis. Just recently, and we'll get into a couple of thoughts here in a minute, but even just recently, through text messages, I've realized that if I'm sensitive to the supernatural presence of Christ in me, Christ in you is the hope of glory, right? And if I'm sensitive and I'm focused on a daily basis and I'm confessing these things that we're saying, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. I'm a supernatural being operating as Christ in the earth. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Making these confessions, my faith rises. And I realize I am just like him, not going to be like him. You know, as a righteous being, you're never going to be more like Jesus than you are right now if you're born again. But you can think more like him by renewing your mind of those things. But I found this to be true. One thing that corresponds with a life of miracles and operating as a supernatural being and living this wonderful Christian life as an adventure with Christ. One accompanying factor that is so helpful and so key in my life is the gift of praying in other tongues. You know, I found I can't pray in other tongues for 5 focused minutes and not literally have something supernatural or miraculous, whether it be a thought. It could be an encouraging word. Lately, it's been in text messages and videos. The Lord, I'll be mowing my grass. And I'll be praying in tongues, and all of a sudden the Lord will give me a word, and I'll stop the mower. I'm getting quicker these days to respond to the voice of the Spirit. That's my confession. I'm getting faster. I'm not as slow as I was last year at obeying the voice of God. I'm always in the right place, always at the right time, dealing with supernatural substance on the behalf of the kingdom. I'm doing kingdom business every day, all day. And you are too. And so I stop the mower when I even think it's the Lord. You know, if you thought the Lord was walking in the room and he was about to speak to you, you'd stop everything if you knew Jesus was talking. So lately I've been getting that focus. The Lord wants to talk to me all the time. The Lord wants to have my ear all the time. So when I'm mowing the grass, I'm listening to my podcast by Kenneth Hagin or whoever I'm listening to, and I'm praying in tongues. All of a sudden, I get a thought of somebody. It could be Chris Jepson. Hadn't happened, but it probably will. And I'll just get a word in due season, and I'll text it to the person. This just happened recently, multiple times in the last few weeks. And I'll just get a word. But it'll be a word by the Holy Spirit. It's miraculous. Remember, a miracle is the divine supernatural interruption of a natural event. And so the Lord, through a miracle, will divinely interrupt my natural lawn mowing and give me a divine supernatural interrupting word that I have to do something natural as a text message or a voice message or a phone call or a video, and then I'll deliver supernatural substance by faith. And it will miraculously go through the airwaves and interrupt somebody else's natural day. And if it's the Holy Ghost, it'll breathe life into them. Proverbs 4 says, His word is life to those that find it. And all of a sudden, I get testimonies on a weekly basis. You have no idea. I was just praying about that. I was just thinking about that. I was just asking God, one girl said recently. I was just asking God about that. And the Lord interrupts my wife one day just as she's cleaning the house and get the right word. Miracles are ready to happen everywhere you go. Are you ready for them? One great way to stay ready is praying in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues. You know, if I wasn't filled with the Spirit, you know what I'd do? I'd get filled with the Spirit. You know what I'd do if I didn't pray in other tongues? I'd start. I'd just decide. In fact, I'd just decide right now. If I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'd just throw down my weapons and go, well, if it's working for that guy, and believe me, it's working for me. Something is changing in my life the more I pray in other tongues. You know, only 120 people were in the upper room, the Bible says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them. I always remind my Catholic friends, you know, Mary was a tongue talker. So next time you're talking to her, ask her about that. Says she was numbered with 120 in Acts chapter 2. You know, there were other Christians in that land, but only 120 of them were crammed in that upper room. And when they came out, they had something that nobody else had. Now, they didn't keep it to themselves, because within a few short days, thousands of people were praying in the Spirit. Why? Because what's good for one is good for all. It so changed Peter's life. He went from being so bashful and afraid and denying Jesus three times and the third time to a little girl as they were putting him on the cross. Remember how embarrassing and shameful? But he gets filled with the Spirit and praying in other tongues, and it made a believer out of him like never before. And he left that upper room and he preached, this Jesus whom you crucified. It was a miracle. There's something about the Holy Spirit and the gift of praying in other tongues that attracts miracles. It's literal miracle working power flowing out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's miraculous. Rivers of living water. I went from walking through the desert some years ago to now I'm literally floating in the rivers of living water. You know, my life is so much less of a struggle. Miracles, not only for me, but miracles for those around me have become so much easier when I have the right words to say, when I'm not depending on my own intellect. There's a whole river of life for you to live in the spirit realm. Remember, you are a spirit. When this body falls away, if Jesus tarries his coming, and you're cremated or buried or sent out to sea or whatever you decide to do, I'm going to have them put me on a rocket and just launch me somewhere. I don't think you can do that. Definitely not in the state of California. I'll wear biodegradable clothing that day. Just feed me to the sharks. But we're supernatural beings. So I want to just talk to you for just a few minutes. That was my opener. Wasn't it wonderful? You only have one service these days, so I feel like I should have a little extra anyway. Jesus, the Son of God, let me read this to you, our Savior. This is from T.L. Osborne. Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, and ultimately our example of how to live. When Jesus began his public ministry, it was a ministry of miracles. Everyone say it was a ministry of miracles. You and I are called to a life and ministry of miracles. Can you say amen? God did not create us as spiritual beings to live merely natural lives. If that was what we were designed to do, then you'd be created as a natural being, dead and far apart from God. That's why, and don't let me ruffle your feathers, that's why salvation in itself is not a miracle. Many places and many people and groups will say, you know, we do this and that at our church, or we don't do this and that at our church because we want to make sure we make room for the greatest miracle of all, which is souls. Now, thank God for salvation. Everything about the death, burial, and resurrection, everything about his birth was supernatural, was a miracle. It was a miracle that the wise men saw the stars and knew where to go. It was a miracle. Everything about Jesus' life and ministry from beginning until ascension was all one giant series of miracles. And so everything about how salvation came to be a gift is miraculous. But salvation in itself, in the words of Kenneth E. Hagin, in the books on gifts of the Spirit, it's not a miracle because you are a spirit being. It's only natural in the spirit realm that a spirit being become connected with his or her heavenly Father. So if I accept that I am a spirit being, then it's only natural, not supernatural. It's only natural that I come home to my Father. We need miracles. We need salvation, but we need salvation for miracles. We need salvation for miracles. I believe we're living in a time right now, and if I never saw you again, I believe I will, but if we're raptured out of here before next time around, know this, you and I are designed to walk just like Jesus walks, fulfilling the great commission of casting out devils, speaking in new tongues, laying hands on the sick. Just like he said in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs, wonders, and miracles. Isn't it interesting? The first thing on Jesus' mind was the casting out of devils. I've always thought that was very interesting. You know, in recent days and months, I've realized how valuable that is. Seriously, about 10 months ago, 9 months ago, I stopped watching the news altogether. The Lord said, hey, if you're going to have my presence invading your life and your ministry on a daily basis, you can't feed on something that you don't want. I was getting so mad and just infuriated about how my fellow man was enraged and things were happening and destruction and terror and fear. And some of that spirit, you know, fear is a spirit. For God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But I started realizing that a spirit of fear was trying to get into my mind. And I was taking it places with me. And I was becoming more afraid, and I was sharing fear. The Lord said, you can't feed on fear. You can't feed on fear every day and produce faith. You can't feed on this junk and produce life. And so my wife and I got in agreement. We shut off the news altogether. Now you still get loads of it from everyone around you. Can't shut everyone off, but I can shut off my own TV. And I found it to be true. You know, we're living in a time, and it's wonderful, that you can take authority over demon spirits, and people don't even have to know. I've been sitting with people and just nothing against them. They're just not renewed in their mind. But just their conversation would all of a sudden start going off in a different direction. Just somebody around me, even people I know. And just under my breath, I'd say, I take authority over the spirit of fear. Not to them, but I take authority over the spirit of fear right now. And I call on the spirit of peace to just invade this. Just under my breath as they're talking to somebody else. And just take authority, and all of a sudden, just in seconds or minutes, conversations. Maybe we've even taken it a step farther. Just we're literally confronted by evil spirits that are dominating people, even in churches. Don't even have to make a big come out or anything like that. Just under your breath. Just take authority, no, in Jesus' name. That spirit of anger and hatred, Whatever that spirit is that's not exalting Christ, I just take authority over you and just focus my attention by faith. See, you have miracle power in you. You know, some of these things you don't even have to let everybody know. You can literally, well, I guarantee you, there were demons cast out in Jesus' ministry and nobody ever heard about it. In fact, we have scripture that says if everything about his life and ministry was written down, the world itself couldn't hold the books. And you're just like him. You're designed and made in his likeness and image to carry him. You're like the Ark of the Covenant. You're carrying God around in you. Can you see that? Can you see that? You and I are called to live this life of miracles. You know, the disciples after Jesus, look at John chapter 14 for a minute. So glad you came. It's terrible preaching just to the chairs. I've done it. John 14, 12. This is Jesus. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Or else just believe me for the very work's sake. Don't you like that? You know, if you can't take God at his word, then go through his word and take God at his own works. See what God did for people. And if he'd do it for one, he'd do it for you. I'll tell you a good one. Find out about the life of Abraham. You know, the Bible says that God made Abraham very rich in silver, gold, and cattle. How's your cattle? How's your stockpile of silver? If God did it for one, he'd do it for you. You know, any need that God ever met in anybody's life in this book, you can attach faith and say, Lord, I've got the same covenant. I've even got a better covenant than Abraham had with you. Lord, you made him rich. Father, I want to be rich. Dare to say something like that. If not now, then when? People say, oh, I could never say the R word. I could never say rich to God. Who could you say it to? If not to him, then who? There shouldn't be this taboo of nonsense that we don't want any more good in our life. No, that's Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist literally says, you've got enough. See how dead that is? You don't need any more. You've had enough. You don't need any more miracles in your life. You don't need any more breakthrough in your life. No, that's Antichrist. He's the God that's more than enough, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Are you asking or thinking bigger today than you did last year? Oh, God wants to break through in every area of our lives, doesn't he? He wants to break through in your finances. He wants to break through in your social life. God wants to bring you some fresh, wonderful, spirit-filled friends that feel like family. God wants to turn our world upside down and just show how miraculous he can be through us. Can you say a good amen? Amen. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I'm getting ready to go unto my Father. Have you ever wondered what the greater works were? A minute ago, I said it couldn't be salvation, because Jesus saved everybody. I've heard preachers say, well, it has to be the miracle of salvation because Jesus never got anyone born again. Well, in a way, you're right. He never got anyone. He got everyone born again. Without him, there is no born again. So that can't possibly be what it is, right? Peter and Paul and John... if you think about that, you almost have the Beatles, don't you? They never, I'm talking about the disciples, you're talking about rock and roll. They didn't lay down their life on a cross. They weren't beaten with a cat of nine tails. So Jesus fulfilled the covenant, and he made the way for salvation. But again, it's only natural, in a supernatural sense, in the spirit realm, because you're a spirit, for you to be born again. So what are the greater works? I thought about this, and then I got an answer this summer. I came in contact with a guy named Bill Johnson, who the Lord saw fit to send all the way to Texas to preach for this conference I'm a part of, for Brother Copeland. And I heard in person him say this, and I thought, that's it right there. That's it. There's miracle power. How many believe we're just so close to being raptured out of here? How many believe that Jesus is coming very soon? Amen. Every hand and toe should be up right now. People say, I'm just not sure. Oh, sure, you're sure. What else has to happen? How bad does the world have to get? How crazy does it have to get before he's coming? I believe we're right there. You say, oh, you shouldn't get people's hopes up. No, get your hopes way up. Because his return is not a hope. It's the hope for all the world. And he's coming soon. Amen. You talk about releasing miracle power. Start thinking and talking like Jesus is coming soon. And it'll cause you to act like he's coming soon. When you see the finish line approaching as a runner in a race, what do? Slow down? Well, we'll just wait. A lot of people think it's about to be over. No, you speed up. I keep having this word in my spirit every time I get up to preach, and this morning's the same. If it's ever going to be, it's now or never. I'm not going to live my eternal life looking back going, man, I really should have gone for it in those last days. I really kind of relaxed a little bit. No, it's time to release the God that's on the inside of us in word, in deed, in expectation. When we come together as a body of believers, when we come to this promised church, we should come with a promise on the inside, expecting God to do something that we haven't seen or experienced, expecting God to break through in our lives and in our worship and in our day, every moment. We should come here with, whoa, I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be good. Yes. You'll never have that expectation if you're not expecting Jesus' return. Because there would be no other reason to expect the miraculous than to honor him. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. And he's living big on the inside of us today. The greater works. The greater works. The greater works. Look at Luke chapter 10. Do you remember this? Jesus sends them out two by two, talking about the disciples. Praise God. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I believe the Lord I believe the Lord is setting the bar higher in this church starting now. Starting now, a higher bar is being set. So what do? When we see the Lord set a higher bar, we increase our expectation. We increase our expectation to step up. Greater crowds, more people are coming. Less fear holding people back in the name of Jesus. People are being released. Release from fear right now in the name of Jesus, keeping them from the assembly. We break your power, devil, off of our friends and family in the name of Jesus. And we release you from your assignment. So be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Luke 10, Jesus sends them out two by two. And what's he tell them? He says, go in my name. Remember, they come back, and you can read the whole thing, but for sake of time, remember they come back, and one of the disciples says, Lord, did you know that even the devils, we laid hands on the sick in your name, we prophesied, we did everything that you said to do in your name, and it all happened just like it was you doing it? But he said, the craziest thing is even when demons encountered us, even the devils are subject to us by your name. Remember, Jesus marveled? And he said, that's all good, and it's good to rejoice about that, but even more so that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. But sending them out two by two, they were able to experience and be a part of and act upon his word in his name and do his works just like he does. Right? But then after Jesus, he said, greater works than these shall ye do when I go to my Father. Remember later on, and we'll just paraphrase here. In fact, I'll give you the scriptures so you can write them down. But you remember, it wasn't that many days later that we find Paul. We find Paul, and they were taking cloths, and while Paul would be preaching and doing his ministry, he'd be wearing cloths and pieces of material. And then they would take those cloths and they would cut them up into pieces. And somehow Paul figured out this way. We never saw that in Jesus' ministry. He never cut up cloths. We do see the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She touched the hem of his garment. So maybe that's where they got the idea that this could be. In fact, Malachi said that the Son of Man, he will be coming with healing in his wings. So it's all there in the scriptures. And the wings is the tassel or the part of a rabbi's cloak. Said there would be power in that. Well, somehow Paul understood that, hey, there's people far away that I can't get my hands to. I wonder if we took by faith some materials and we prayed over them or we wore them while the anointing was manifested on us. And then we sent those to faraway places that we couldn't get. I wonder if the power of God could touch them like it did that woman with the issue of blood. A greater work. It didn't happen until Jesus ascended. A greater work. Well, then Peter comes along, right? And somehow in Peter's life and ministry, people got around Peter and realized just walking with the man made them physically feel better. Somebody got the idea. I wonder if we could catch Peter coming out of his house or places of business in the daylight. If we put the sick just where he was walking, I wonder if the manifested glorious presence, the miracle-working presence of God that Paul is sending out in napkins and cloths, I wonder if it could be captured through a man's shadow, a greater work. Do you know you're experiencing greater works? You know, one fresh revelation from God does not end or replace a former word or rhema word or revelation from God. It adds to. We still lay hands on the sick. That's New Testament scripture. Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. James talked about calling for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith, getting your hands on them. So we still do that. That was a revelation that Jesus presented. He laid hands on people or people touched him. But then Paul comes along taking the Lord at his word and he said, there's greater works to be done. We've laid hands on the sick. I wonder if we can transfer this power, this anointing through cloth. And they did, and it did. Why? Because of faith in what Jesus said. Peter, they realized that the same power, the miracle working power, could be transferred just by the man's shadow. A greater work. Today we're experiencing greater works. A text message releasing the power and the word of God and the anointing. And somebody reads it and says it out loud. Sometimes I'll text this long thing and I'll say, now say this and be free. People text me back and say, oh my God, it works. I said what you said to say. All I tell them to say is what the Lord tells me to say. A verse of scripture or a confession like we're talking about. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a physical body. Through the renewing of your mind by the word of God, twain with the presence of God, you can't fail. It literally changes you from the inside out. It literally will drive sickness from you. It'll bring blessing to you. It's the Word and the Spirit together. But it's faith that unlocks it. How do we get more miracles? Release faith. Release faith. Just start talking about it. I got a friend named Aaron Jones. Lives up in Redding, California. I never get on the phone without talking about miracles with him. We just start talking about Jesus. In fact, he won't let me talk about anything really naturally normal. In fact, I can tell my spiritual level. Do you have any friends or family in your life that that when you get around them, maybe your pastors, you can? It's like they're a thermometer, and they reveal to you your level of faith and spirituality. You have any friends that they just walk in a greater level of maybe revelation? Maybe they've tapped into a greater level of spirituality. Maybe they have a greater desire for Christ than you do. That should never offend us. That's literally the Lord helping us set the bar higher. Every time I talk to my friend, he's a great evangelist. The greatest soul winner I've ever personally met. I've seen that guy win people to the Lord going through the drive-thru at Starbucks. I have. I've seen people break down and crying, total strangers, over coffee in 30 seconds when this guy gives a word from the Lord, just telling some, you know, a compliment from one person in the same words can be totally different when the anointing's on it. I get around that guy and other guys like that and I go, Lord, whatever he's got, I'm extending my faith. I get around people like that. Every time I'm with Aaron or his wife Connie, we always have them lay hands on us and pray for us. I extend my faith. Whatever's on you, I want more of it. I want more miracle power. That guy's got more testimonies of miracles than I got. And I don't want him getting too far ahead of me. Do you have people in your life? You don't want Pastor Henry having too much more ahead of you in the area of miracles. It's time to up our testimony. Don't you want to be a person like the disciples and so many others that say, I too am a witness of his goodness? And it to be about something that's tangible and real and notable and provable. I don't want my whole spiritual life to be figurative. That came out of me 6 months ago in prayer. Just praying earnestly in tongues with another group of people. That became the word for the week. Actually, 3 weeks of meetings we had in New England. And there was this theme. Lord, I don't want my spirituality to be figurative. Something that an unbeliever has to take by faith. They don't have any. I want provable. Jesus is coming soon. Prove it. Jesus is a healer. Prove it. Jesus is a miracle worker. Prove it. There's healing in these hands. Prove it. There's healing in this word. Prove it. The whole world right now is shouting to the church, prove it. And much of the church is going, I don't have any. All I have is faith. No, faith is the substance. It is my proof. It is my proof. You can see it in my eyes. You can feel it in my hands. And when I come in the room, the atmosphere changes. Why do you talk like that? Because I believe it. I believe it. Everywhere you go, a presence on you goes with you. Everywhere you go as a couple, there's a divine presence on you. Learn how to use it in intimate individual ways. I see it on your Instagram and on your Instagram, a light shining. But there's brighter days right now for you in ministry. In ministry, there's a ministry greater than what you've seen in you. And you don't even have to figure it out in your head. Just pray it out. You'll never walk it out until you pray it out. But the gifts of other tongues, and you pray it out, your steps become ordered of the Lord. Every time you take 5 minutes and 10 minutes to pray in the Spirit, it's as if the Lord is taking the next step, and it's like you're walking on hardwood. He's covering whatever sand was below that, and every time you pray in other tongues together, every time you join hands together in agreement, Lord, what's the next step? Lord, what have you called us to? And you begin to pray it out by faith in the Spirit. One great thing about praying in other tongues is you have to trust God for every syllable and trust that it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. It's miraculous. And I just see you. Yeah, ministers. You're both professionals, but there's definitely a ministry. So I don't know if that confirms anything, but something's happening. And I believe 2021 will be a launching of that. Whatever that thing, maybe not even describable in your heart, but a launching for your ministry. Amen. Yeah. Well, you don't have to receive it, but I would. Because wherever the Lord's leading, that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. Amen. Well, I'll close here in a second. But there are greater works to be done. Even now, you could look at Peter and Paul's life and go, wow, they prayed over napkins. That's great. We've seen that. Man's shadow. I've never seen that maybe, but that's cool. But it's not reserved for a scattered few. There's so many more greater works to be done. The church is so much bigger than it was 2,000 years ago. We're everywhere. Believers are everywhere. In technology, Mary said it at the start of service, we're so blessed. The greatest way you can spread the gospel is through your social media. John G. Lake couldn't spread the gospel like that. Lester Summerall got on a boat to follow Howard Carter for an entire year and a half before he actually found the man. He went to 5 foreign lands and just missed him by weeks. Every time. Left him letters saying, I know you're in Africa. I left there 3 weeks ago. Now I'm in Australia. Come to Australia. I don't know how long I'll be there. He gets to Australia and he's already missed him. Finally, it's a year and a half before he actually finds the minister that the Lord told him to get to. It's a book called Adventuring with Christ. But today we have technology. I can preach to more people than T.L. Osborne ever did personally. I can do it through one text message and put it on Facebook. And it can be shared and shared and shared. What is it? A greater work. There's greater works. Greater miraculous works right under our noses. At least the ability to do greater works. One word from God through you to somebody else. One word could be the difference between life and death. I can't tell you how many people have said that the things that have been spoken through our ministry has literally stopped them from ending their own life. And most of that just from teenagers. One word through you could bring about a change. One word. One action. The Lord lately has been just telling me hilarious things. I say they're hilarious. It's just funny how they work out. I've had the Lord tell me in recent days, I wrote down a couple of examples. Just recently, I went out of my way to turn around in a parking lot because I saw a woman, not that she needed my help, but I saw a woman coming from all the way back there, and I was all the way back there. I was about to open my car door, and the Lord said, go back and open the door for that lady. And I'm getting quicker. I'm getting more sensitive. I went to start to open my door, and the Lord said, don't miss it. Just heard it on the inside. So I went back. And I'm just walking with this lady. And then there's this weirdness. Because now I've stopped doing what I was doing. And she saw me. And we're just walking. Hi. And I walked her right up there. She just blew her away. And I said, hey, have a blessed day. And something about that. She just stopped and couldn't believe. She said, you came all the way. You came all the way back just to open the door? Oh, my God, what'd you do that for? I said, I believe God told me to do that for you and to tell you have a blessed day. And just a blank look. I don't have the full testimony, but I knew whatever it was took her from an over-jovial moment to this blank look when I said, God told me to do it. You know, God is just itching to get through you to somebody he's trying to get to, but he needs a you to get to them. Hallelujah. As God's presence is invading the earth, it's not just coming in a spiritual wave, it's coming through people. Notice he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. His presence is flowing to people through people.